It's time now for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports, and by the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future. At the end of September, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz directed the MPCA, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, to create the Clean Cars Minnesota Rule. The rule is an opportunity for Minnesota to make progress in reducing greenhouse gas emissions from transportation, where a lot of them come from at any rate, and also to increase access to electric vehicles. Noah Shavit-Lonstein joins us this morning. She is the Transportation Solutions Organizer at MN350 to talk about the rule, and there's a public input meeting coming up in northern Minnesota, in Virginia. Noah, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you with us. So let's talk a little bit about clean car standards in Minnesota. Certainly, we're not facing the kinds of smog and air quality issues that we see on the evening news from other countries and from the left and right coasts. And yet there are still traffic advisories every now and again during the summer months. What's our situation like here in the state?
There certainly are. So a lot of transportation pollution is not terribly visible to us, but it is a real problem for Minnesotans. The Pollution Control Agency's most recent study found that air pollution emissions, the bulk of which are from transportation, cause between 2,000 to 4,000 early deaths per year throughout the state. And there's actually a much larger share of those than you would think in rural Minnesota, in the countryside. Even though we think of this as sort of a city, big highways, smog problem, it's not just limited to Duluth and to the cities. It's also a huge problem in the countryside because of the lack of access to health care in many rural communities.
So I want to clarify this a little bit because I think a lot of people do think, oh, well, you know, I live out in the Tulies or I'm out in the country and I'm not where, you know, there's a 5 o'clock traffic jam that lasts for an hour and a half. Are we talking about air quality that is degraded because of perhaps farm equipment or something? Or are we talking about like roving bands of smog leaving the cities and affecting people in the country who may not have the same access to health care or even maybe be aware?
I'm not totally sure what the exact like wind patterns and such are, but I can tell you that some of the counties with the highest incidence of this, of air pollution related deaths, are far from the cities. Places like Aitkin, McGregor area have actually some of the highest rates of deaths and hospitalizations and asthma attacks that are related to air pollution.
Wow. Well,
and that's not even to mention all of the climate-related emissions. You know, transportation is the biggest source of emissions that hurt our climate, that hurt our future, that make our weather a lot harder to farm in and to live in.
That is scary because we think, you know, here in the middle of the country, we're not them. We're safe. So let's talk about what these clean car standards could mean for Minnesota. What are they going to do, and are they going to go into effect? I'm thinking about, you know, for the big trucks that are frequently the ones that when they go by you, you can smell them and you can see the exhaust. So those are the ones, I guess, that I'm thinking about mostly. What could the standards mean? Who are they going to impact?
So the standards impact new car sales. They work a lot like the mileage rules that we already have, and they work within the same system. So, you know, there's rules that every year car manufacturers have to produce a certain share of their vehicles and sell them at this mileage and a certain share at this mileage, and that helps make sure we have a good fuel economy in our cars, and it saves people money. So one of the things that Clean Cars Minnesota would do is it would keep those rules in place for new car sales. The federal government is trying to roll those back, trying to put a freeze on those, and it'll make sure that we keep getting those benefits in Minnesota. The other thing it'll do it'll require that a certain share of cars manufactured, and again, this is on the car company, it's not on individuals, it's not on car dealers, it's on the manufacturers to clean up their act. It'll make sure that a certain share of the cars that they produce and sell are zero emission. So it's not clear they can get more credits for having somewhat, like, very, very low emission, partially electric vehicles, or for
the hybrid
vehicles. So it's a little bit complicated. Yeah.
Right. The hybrid vehicles could be a potential gray area, but obviously offering incentives and encouragement, carrots and sticks, to keep putting out vehicles with zero emissions. Now, electric cars, I think for a lot of people, are an intriguing option and definitely an option that they would like to pursue. But I don't know about you, but they're kind of out of my price range. How could this make, or could this make, getting electric vehicles easier?
Yeah, I mean, I know that very well. They're certainly out of my price range. I have a very old Honda currently. It has a sticker that says "This car sucks" on the back that my mechanic gave to me. So I know a thing or two about that price range issue.
Right.
But the beauty of this rule is that it puts the onus on the car manufacturers to make the difference and to sell these cars at a price that people can afford. So right now, they have done a lot of the investment and the research into electric vehicles and other kinds of zero-emission vehicles, but they're not selling them at prices people can afford. They're leaving them as sort of a luxury option, even though the price of batteries and the other things that are necessary for those sort of vehicles have dropped dramatically over the past decade.
And so, obviously, they will have an incentive to try to drop the costs on those. Now,
they'll have to put those into the kinds of models that people can afford. And it's not just on manufacturing these vehicles. There's a requirement to actually sell them. So they have to meet the customer where they already are.
Right, right. I'm curious, there's been some conversation, and maybe I'm thinking about bigger vehicles or trucks, but I'm trying to remember whether I heard it on Earthwise or some of the other programming that we have here on KUMD. Mm-hmm. Something is sticking in my mind about sometimes electric vehicles not being practical in this part of the country because it gets so darn cold in the wintertime. True, false?
Mm-hmm. False. I mean, that has been a problem in the past, but it's something that newer models have a lot more capacity to deal with.
Excellent. And so talk about this public comment meeting. It's going to be taking place in Virginia. When and where, and what sorts of questions are going to be asked?
Yeah, so it's the Pollution Control Agency, the folks in charge of this rule, are putting on these public comment meetings around the state. There's one in Marshall tonight, but the one in Virginia is going to be on the 12th, which is a week from, less than a week, actually. It's next Tuesday.
Right.
And it's going to be at the Miners Memorial Building in Virginia from 5 to 7 p.m. Now, I've been to one of these before, and the general format is that they'll give you, like, a presentation, show you all their favorite graphs and stuff about this topic, and that lasts about half an hour, and then they take questions and comments from the public. And what they're trying to do here, they want to establish the need for this rule. So if you're somebody who would benefit from the shift to cleaner vehicles and not relying on gas, if you're somebody who works in the clean energy industry and would benefit from vehicles that run on Minnesota-made clean energy, if you're somebody who has health problems, lung-related, or you know somebody who does, this could be a really, or if you're just somebody who's concerned about climate change, because these rules are trying to tackle climate change.
Well, it sounds like
the Pollution Control Agency wants to hear from you.
It sounds like there is a large group of folks that maybe need to go to the meetings that didn't realize they needed to go to the meetings. When we're talking about health effects in rural areas, it's easy for us to say, again, I think it's a common idea that this is something we don't need to worry about. Everybody comes up here for our clean air and our clean water and that sort of thing. But if that is not really the case, if we are suffering health effects wherever these come from, this is something people in this area need to know about.
Absolutely.
Noah, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. We'll get some links set up on our webpage so that folks can find out more information and add the public hearing to their calendars if it's something that they want to attend. Thanks again for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Noah Shavit-Lonsdein joined us this morning, our guest here on 103.3 KUMD. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible with support from the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future.